one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Yeah, I'm asked so many times, where do war games come from? I heard that you invented it, or you see this in social media all the time saying, well, Dusty Rhodes invented war games. He was part of the first war games. Obviously, I was. But what made the match happen was I was looking for some type of a creative out to where I was getting beat up by the four horsemen, really five, counting J.J. Dillon. And I had different partners, and we were fighting this war. And I had just come from seeing Tina Turner, my girlfriend, and Mel Gibson in the Thunderdome, right? And I see this cage, and I see this top on the cage. And I know through the years in my industry, the cage match has always been a big part, especially down south, when you blew off matches. And so I said, has there ever been two rings with a cage, one cage covering both rings with the top on it, and two doors at each end, and two teams of five? You know, there's guys behind the scenes everywhere, and we don't get to name them or talk about them a lot. But Klondike Bill was a great performer in the ring and outside of the ring. As he got older, he just loved being around the business. He became the guy that set up the ring.
Canadian Hall of Famer, former wrestling great, and now Chief Wrestling Ring Assembly Technician for the NWA, Klondike Bill. Klondike, good to have you here.
So, coming back from Greensboro, I got a white sheet of paper in the light of the car, and I kind of drew an outline of the way I wanted the war games to look, the way the cage was. And I knew Klondike
came back, on the
radio? Office there in Charlotte. You know, unloading the cage and putting ring and putting everything
speaking
up.
Speaking of door to you.
So I go, I get, by the time I get there, I'm pretty roaring by the time I get there. I got this idea, and I don't want to wait till in the morning. So I lay it out to Klondike on the street.
In this box.
Out in the parking lot,
like
on the street, get on my knees and get him on my knees with a flashlight.
Sugar Ray. Ugh.
And show him I want this built.
Sure.
And I've got the okay from Jimmy Crockett and Crockett Promotions. He's standing right over there. So you can build this thing. He said, well, where's it go? I said, it's going to hang above the ring and it's going to drop down. He thought I was completely nuts. You know what I mean? At the time. Really just... They would set the cage up for regular cage matches. It would take an hour to watch them. You would be in the back. And they would, you know, it wasn't dropped from the ceiling, you know. They brought it in side by side at a time, and they set it up and they tied it together, and there it was. This thing was going to be dropped with a top on it covering two rings, okay, with two doors on each end. And old Klondike, he worked on it like a med scientist. You know what I mean? I could see him with that thing flipped down, welding as it started to come to life. You know what I mean? So, and there it was. You know, it was an event. It was an event for me to watch it come to life. It was almost like, it's like anybody that creates anything, I think, once they see it, once you feel it, once it's been yours, or once you've touched it and you watch it and you sit back and you see it come to life, it's amazing. It's like babies being born. Nothing is more amazing than that, obviously, but not comparing babies to war games. But it's just something that comes over you to where, for that second, it takes your breath away, man. It's just like, wow.
And we are live. Let me adjust myself here. There we go. We are live across the airwaves of Rant Entertainment Media, rantemradio.com. And if you're listening live, or you're listening on a delay, or you're listening, you know, through a $25 CD Walkman that they still sell in Best Buy in 2017 for some god-awful reason, you hear music! Double A, as always, being joined by Tony C.
Hey, yo.
And on the other side of the room are the boys from Turnbuckle Throwback. Say hello to Phil Rea.
Yo.
And say hello to Choppy.
Uh-huh.
And it is the... Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait for it. Tonight is the...
The wall games,
as Dusty would say. And by the way, before we get started, Tony C? Okay. Anyways. I'm happy. I'm happy I got some stuff back. I gotta repopulate the drops, but I got some stuff back. Anyways.
One more time from the AA.
Okay. Anyways.
I'm glad.
Tonight, NXT TakeOver War Games from Houston, Texas, from the, Toyota Center there in Houston. And, of course, it's the first of four nights that the WWE takes over Houston. Of course, tonight, NXT. Tomorrow night, the Survivor Series. I don't have that drop queued up just yet. And Monday, they'll be there for Raw, and on Tuesday for SmackDown. So it's going to be an interesting 4 days. Of course, we'll be here tomorrow night, 6 p.m., for our coverage of the Survivor Series. 1 hour pre-show as we bring you the predictions and all that stuff. We are here tonight leading into NXT TakeOver War Games. We will run down the card, give our predictions, and things like that. But the main reason why we're here is to talk about the War Games, because the War Games returns tonight live on the WWE Network. First time that the War Games ever happens in the WWE. The first time we've seen a War Games in the mainstream wrestling business since 1998. And I don't care what anybody says, that bullshit they did in 2000 doesn't count. But 18, 19 years it's been since we've had a War Games match. This is as close to a traditional War Games match as we're going to get. We'll go through the rules and everything a little bit later on, but this is a match that is near and dear to my heart. It's near and dear to Tony C's heart. Phil shed a tear when he found out the War Games was coming back and that we were going to do this round table. Choppy's just been chomping at the bit. He's been chomping at the bits, you know. And with a tear in his eye and Logan on his lap. But it's definitely an exciting night. Regardless of whether you're upset that there's a top on the cage or not, and we've already got confirmation on that. That's whatever. You don't have to be upset over that. It's a historic night. It's NXT TakeOver.
The kids just need something to piss and moan about, boss. That's the problem.
That's what it is. That's all.
And I was one of those kids.
Yeah, you are.
I know, and I pissed and moaned too. I did a little quieter than most, but you know, it's just
pissed and moaned about what?
There's no top on the damn cage.
You bullshit.
No, there's no top on the cage, dude.
Well, it ain't War Games.
It is War Games.
Thank you. That's what the consensus was.
Glorified cage match.
Which only tells me one thing. There's going to be a spot from the top.
Or is it going to be a run-in?
Or a run-in. You know, I doubt Paul Ellering. If Paul Ellering scales that cage, I'll be shocked. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. It wouldn't be his first time inside War Games.
But wait a minute. For real, though, there's no top on this cage?
There is no top on the cage. Oh, we already received confirmation on that, Tony C.
Well, what's the hell the point? I swear WWE booking this.
Well, here's the thing. Here's apparently... I guess we'll get into it. Might as well. So, the rumor and the scuttlebutt is that Triple H fought for a War Games match. Vince conceded, and then as we got closer and whatever, and they were formulating how this was going to be, Vince said, I don't want a top on the cage. And they went back and forth until ultimately Triple H just kind of said, whatever. And they went the route of not putting a top on the cage. That's the rumor. Take it as you will. But
okay, double A, but really though, if it's no top on the cage,
it's a war games. Listen, war games. There are two rings. It's a double steel cage. It's war games in 2017.
It's a double no double A. It's a double ring steel cage.
We'll talk about that. We're going to get into that. But
It's not as bad as Vince Russo's fucking war
exactly.
games.
Exactly. Let me talk about Vince Russo for about 2 seconds. I watched something that I never saw before yesterday on YouTube. Apparently, in 2000, Joan London, world-renowned journalist.
Good Morning America, Joan London.
Joan London from Good Morning America did a special for A&E about WCW.
An expose.
And I watched this, and of course they went to the power plant. They showed what it takes to be a wrestler and all these things, and I saw a lot of faces there that are very interesting. And there goes my headset. Hold on 1 second, boys. I gotta get this squared away here. You know what? Screw it. Let me just pull the. I'm gonna play it through the overhead speakers. There we go. Hold on. Give me a second here. All right. There we go. So she went in that expose at WCW, and she's talking to Vince Russo. And she asked Vince Russo, who makes the decisions around here? Vince says, me. Who writes the stories? Me. Oh, my God. Vince Russo is like an abscess on the ass of wrestling. Let me tell you. Lord. Anyways, let's talk about the war games. You heard the little audio thing I played at the start of the show of Dusty Rhodes of creating the war games match. It was 1987, the summer. Dusty at this point had been having his ass handed to him by the Four Horsemen for 2 years now. Okay? Ever since that fateful night in the Omni in September of 1985, where the Horsemen came in, broke Dusty's ankle, and as they say, the rest is history. So here we are. Dusty's the head of creative of Jim Crockett Promotions, and he's looking for, as he said, a creative out in his battles with the Four Horsemen. So let me paint the picture. July 4th, 1987. Independence Day, if you will.
If you will.
It was the Four Horsemen, and I'm going to pull it up, who was on Dusty's side. But I believe it was Dusty Rhodes.
Nikita Koloff and the Road Warriors.
And the Road Warriors, thank you. Well, the Horsemen got their ass whooped that night. And
KG Bro.
Is that the War Games where Animal was gorilla pressing somebody? They damn near pulled the top off the cage.
And JJ has gone on record that the Road Warriors damn near killed him that night by a botched clothesline off the top rope that separated his shoulder. In the ring, and he still got the hump.
Doomsday device.
On his back. But it was war. That was the first of what ultimately ended up being, I believe, 20 War Games matches that summer.
Well, they showed three of them. They showcased.
It didn't air on
July, except two in July and one in August.
On pay per view. It was part of the Great American Bash tour. And then every year after that, for the first couple of years, it toured the country. Multiple War Games matches took place.
Hello?
You got it in Baltimore. You got it in Charlotte, Greensboro.
Yeah.
Maybe it went all the way up north, up to Philadelphia. We know it went to the Meadowlands because the Great American Bash tour started in the Meadowlands in 1991, and that's where Dusty Rhodes uttered this drop.
The War Games.
So it didn't play. Oh, well, that kind of sucks. That was anticlimactic. All right. Well, Can you guys hear me?
We heard it. We heard it.
Yes, sir.
Hold on. I think we got some technical problems here, boys. Hold on. Take over the show, boys, while I figure out what's going on here.
Not a problem.
Well, I'm just pissed off that ain't no top on this damn steel cage match.
I agree with you, man. There should be a double. There should be a roof over those fucking cages, man. It's bullshit.
I think it's that old 40-45 don't want to give credit to the previous regime type situation. Vince don't never want to give WCW credit for nothing.
I agree with you, man. Like, why are you going to bring back an historic event as War Games, a match that started, you know, pretty much cemented history for WCW and the NWA, and then you bring it into NXT, and then you're like, yeah, we're going to bring back that match, but we're only going to bring half of it for you. That's stupid.
Vince is the kind of person that he'll take the Dixieland match from TNA and call it a Vinceland match.
What about the King of the Mountain match? Well, how would he do that?
Oh my God. He'll call it the Queen of the Mountain match or some shit like that. Just because. I'm not giving nobody else credit. I invented all this shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, remember when in 2002 they came up with the Elimination Chamber idea? And it wasn't Vince. It was Eric Bischoff who was told by Vince to say, yeah, this is going to be like fight. It's just a fight.
Yep, because you can't do it in high spots. Ain't no running on, jumping from the top of the cage, no crazy stuff like that.
I'm going to ask your opinion on something. I'm sorry?
No, I said, like you said, Chubb, it's a fight.
Exactly. You know, considering the fact that we have no roof on the cage tonight, what do you think is going to happen? Besides, like, you know, a high spot or a run-in, do you think anything big is supposed to happen tonight?
Hell no.
No. Gotcha.
Outside of what you just suggested.
Who do you expect to win? Do you think the AOP, Sanity, or Undisputed Era?
I think the team with Paul Ellering's boys on it probably going to win.
Yeah, I have a feeling, too, because if I'm not mistaken, they're getting close to being called up to the main roster, those two, those big behemoths.
Exactly. And they're going to kick somebody's ass. Can we all admit that WWE missed the boat to bring this in, what 4 years ago, I think it was?
More like 10 years ago.
When we had the Evolution and Shield feud.
Oh, my God. If we had the Shield and Evolution, that should have definitely been a War Games for sure. But they chose not to do it. Because why? Because Vince does not want to bring... First off, we're even lucky that we're getting it on NXT. Could you imagine him trying to bring back the War Games on the main roster?
We're going to call it Battle... We're going to call it Battleground or Battleship.
Or Battleship. Battleship. Oh, man. I tell you right now, Tony, we're just very, very lucky that we're getting it on the I guess you could call NXT the developmental brand, because he would never put it on the main roster. Absolutely not.
I believe you. Because he that petty. That's a Vince McMahon. He finally bites the big one, whenever that is. There's going to be a lot of people at that funeral just standing up talking about how petty he really is. This is a petty man. That's gonna be the main thought.
And he shouldn't be petty at all. You want to know why? Because he owns most of the wrestling in the United States. I don't know what's the issue.
Exactly. That's what I don't understand. Damn. Like, if you won the Monday Night Wars and all the, you know, all the good stuff, why not, you know, use it?
I put this on social media the other night that anything that's not theirs, that they incorporate from somewhere else, he's got to put his own spin on it. And that's just how it goes.
Don't pay homage to it. Water it down. See the NWO when you bought it in. Right. See Scott Steiner when you bought him. Big Papa Pump's character. Booker T when you brought him in. You got to make it seem like you got to humble everybody that didn't come from him. It's like, dude.
Look what happened with Diamond Dallas Page when he first came in 2001. Come on. Why was he the... I mean, I was surprised when he came into the company, but why is he the stalker of an ugly ass woman, but in the name of Sarah,
because Vince needed to get his jollies off.
And you know the main thing about all those feuds, you knew the WWE guys were going to win them. So it's like, there was not one WCW guy who got up on the WCW guy.
No.
I can't let Booker T. I don't give a damn if he's the WCW champion. Go on the Rock.
Can you guys hear me?
I mean, the Rock. Be damn DDP beats The Undertaker.
Oh, man.
The hell with that move.
Just did. I mean, The Undertaker.
Eric.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
I hear you. It's like you got a rumbling behind you, and it's all echoey.
Okay, hold on. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah. You rumble. Like, there's a rumble behind you.
Hold on. What about now?
Yeah.
Better?
Yeah.
I hear earthquake in the background.
You hear an earthquake, all right.
Yeah, like earthquake. The
right. Yep. A couple months early for the Royal Rumble.
I know we're a little early for that. Hold on. What about now? Better?
I think now's good.
Okay. All right. Tweak the settings a little bit. Now, can you hear the drops?
God damn.
Damn, yes, right.
All right. So, anyways, back to what I was saying. What were you guys saying? Because I had now I'm completely lost. I heard you guys talking about the War Games of now that Vince has to put his mark on it and all that stuff.
Yeah, me and Tony C were just saying how petty Vince is right now.
You know what? Vince realizes he's on his last years, I think. Because Vince can't... I mean, what is Vince going to do? Die at Raw?
If he had his drugs.
I mean, it's not going to happen. I mean, Vince is going to have to just step aside at some point. But...
This is the same man that tore two quads and sat on his ass and tried to carry out the damn promo. Dang.
Yeah, but that man was already starting to become a broken man.
Well, we need his ass broken.
And by the way, because you mentioned that, and Batista was involved in that, I learned yesterday that Batista had a tryout at WCW, and they threw him out of the building. So I found that very funny. Oh. Anyways,
no shocker there.
No shocker there. Anyways, so let's talk about War Games, the history of it. There's been several high-profile War Games matches over the years. Of course, on pay-per-view, they didn't hit pay-per-view until 1989 at the Great American Bash. There was no War Games match on television in 1990, but in 1991, Phoenix, Arizona, that's where the War Games was. It was the Four Horsemen against Flying Brian,
Sting and the Steiners.
And of course, Sid damn near breaking Brian Pillman in half.
Oh, yeah, that powerbomb was so watched.
Mm-hmm. Damn, Brian Pillman, another one who almost kicked the top off the cage.
Mm-hmm. But I think across the board that a personal favorite of most people is the War Games from 1992.
With the Dangerous Alliance and Sting Squadron? Alliance
versus Sting Squadron.
That was from WrestleWar
92. And the Dangerous Alliance filled the void that the Horsemen had left behind the year before. And because, by that time, Ric Flair had left to go to the WWF, and the only people left of the Four Horsemen at that time was Arn Anderson, and Barry had turned face by that point. So here we've got Arn Anderson, a young, stunning Steve Austin, ravishing Rick Rude, beautiful Bobby Eaton, and Larry Zbysko.
Can I just mention that Larry Zbysko took a absolute beating?
Yes, he did. He sure did.
Why are we coming up? Why are we echoing?
Hold on. Let me turn the volume down a bit. What about now?
How about now?
Better?
A little bit.
All right. Because, you know, I got to do everything through the overhead speakers. Until I get this new headset tonight, this is unfortunately how we got to go. You see, when your equipment dies in the middle of the show, you have to improvise. Anyways. So, Larry Zbysko got his ass whooped, but I don't know if Larry Zbysko belonged in that match to begin with.
Yeah, he took a beating, though.
Because when I think of War Games, I certainly don't think of Larry Zbysko. But then again, when I think of War Games, I certainly don't think about the Nasty Boys either.
And the Nasty Dream.
So I'm going to talk about something here. That right there probably is, you know, if you're a purist, you're going to say any War Games involving the Horsemen in the 80s. If you're just a hardcore fan, you'll probably go with 1992 or 1996, and we know what happened in 96. But somebody who will remain nameless and somebody who will probably be in attendance at the Survivor Series in Phil's house tomorrow made a very public statement about 4 weeks ago and said that they watched War Games for the first time and they said it was good. But they used the worst one that anybody could have possibly used as a barometer. The War Games from 1995.
That one was
shit. Hell no.
Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, Sting and Lex Luger against Ming, Kevin Sullivan. I don't know who else was in that match. That's how bad it was.
The Zodiac and Shark.
There you go. Thank you.
The Zodiac and Shark.
Brutus Beefcake and Earthquake were in that match.
That was Fall Brawl
1995. That's right.
And then all the other guys were dressed in fatigues, remember?
Ugh.
What a shit show.
But War Games.
And you forgot about the stipulation at the end.
What's the stipulation at the end, Tony C? Remind everybody.
If the Hulkamaniacs won, Hogan got 5 minutes with Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, for God's sake. And he did. He ultimately did.
He only got 2 minutes because the Giant came out.
He still got his time with Kevin Sullivan. That's what's important. Anyways, I want to go to Phil now because Phil, he's the one that this particular format, this particular match, you know, tickles the cockles of his heart.
It does.
And Phil, you're old school. You've watched a lot. You've seen a lot. You've been to a lot. You've experienced a lot. 30 years of the War Games. Tell me why you love it. Tell the people your favorite moments. Tell the people what makes your back crack, your liver quiver, and all those things.
For me, it was the entire process of elimination and feuds being settled.
Right.
And I'm echoing like a son of a bitch and it's killing me right now.
I'll figure it out. Just keep going.
And to be honest with you, I'm taking the headphones off. It's bothering me. To be honest with you, it probably was so exciting to see it. Especially the first three because they weren't televised. When you got a tape of it, it was so good. And hearing Dusty, I watched it again today. The retrospective. Mm-hmm. Hearing Dusty today,
right?
Talk about his intuition and how it came to pass. I don't know. I feel like it was my. It's I love a cage match regardless. you know, you guys all know it's my favorite. It's my favorite gimmick.
Right.
But the first couple before 90, was it the 92, the James Alliance was my favorite. And just the, you know, everybody had a beef. Scores were settled. It was brutal. People got hurt for real. Mm-hmm. And he did it more than once. He did a tour, like I believe mentioned a little while ago. And it was fantastic. And some of the stuff that they have on DVD now with no commentary is absolutely insane. Because you had Tony Schiavone doing the clock, essentially.
Right. He was the ring.
So he was basically a second ring announcer. And you had no commentary. But you had these matches that were uncovered for some years that only tape traders got like fuzzy copies of back in the day. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the Warriors, the Superpowers, you know, the Horsemen, Luger, it was just everything came, you know, scores were settled. There was, you know, and then guys can move on with their character after, you know. You know, Dusty always had a problem with the Horsemen. This was probably the best gimmick match ever, I think.
I'd probably go with that. A lot of people would tell you that the Royal Rumble is the best gimmick match. But I listen, the Royal Rumble only comes once a year. And we get excited every year for the Rumble. We always make it a big deal on the network, and we always have for all the years that we've been doing the coverage and this and that. Excuse me. But in 10 years of doing this program or doing the rant, I've never been able to cover a War Games match, ever. And I remember growing up as a kid that, and like Phil said, the early ones were not on TV. They may have showed a little bit of a clip on TV in case something major happened, but that was about it. Until 89 was the first one that was on pay-per-view, and then 90 there wasn't one, and then there was 91, 92 at WrestleWar, and then after that it became part of Fall Brawl. But I remember vividly, okay? Now, I'm going to go ahead and then go backwards. When I was 96, so this had to be, I had to be 13 years old at this time, 13, 14 years old. At that time, every time September rolled around, I got excited. Why? Because of the War Games match. War Games was always exciting to me, despite what may have happened in 94 and 95. And even 93, that's, you know, I want to forget that. Anyways, and 98 too. There's only a couple that are very good, but, you know, 93, 94, 95, and 98, we'll pretend those happened, but we just won't talk about them. Anyways, I always got excited for the War Games, and of course 96 was such a big deal because of WCW versus the NWO. But I remember vividly, being 9 years old and ordering WrestleWar on pay-per-view. In those times, if you ordered a pay-per-view, that was big shit. Okay? That means your mom, you know, you got a good report card or something, and your mom gave you the okay. And I remember I ordered WrestleWar 92. We ordered pizza from Domino's. And I ordered... invited my friend Ryan from school. I told him, Ryan, I'm ordering WrestleWar. You have to come to my house. He came over. I remember it started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think. It was an early pay-per-view start. And we watched it. And I sat there with my cheese pizza because I was a refined eater at that time. And, and I watched in awe. I couldn't tell you jack shit that happened on the rest of that pay-per-view. But I could tell you what happened during the War Games. I could tell you word for word, move by move, what happened in War Games. And that's one of those memories as a kid that I have that I was that I'm going to have until I die. You know, and I'm going to die probably in about another 90 years, which would put me at around 115, something like that. But yeah, it was breathtaking. And then the sight. This is the thing that now I wish there was pyro, okay? When WWE took away the pyro earlier this year, I said, well, we really don't need the pyro. You know, it's not a big deal. You know, we grew up without the pyro, but the pyro was only used in special occasion. War Games was one of those special occasions. Why? Because the cage was lowering down, and just all hell and pandemonium was just going everywhere because the fireworks were going off like crazy. This thing was just inching its way down to the ring. And the only thing that went through my mind, somebody's going to die tonight. And you see the cage lowering down. The fireworks are going off. It is just a sight. I wish that at some point in my life, I could have seen that live. Because if you've ever been to a WWE show where there was a cage match, and I've been to a handful of cage matches, and I've also had a handful of Hell in a Cell matches happen. It is something to look at when this thing is coming down. I don't care whether the match is good or not. If you're in the building and you're watching this thing lower, it's actually scary to look at. I just wish I would have been able to experience that with War Games. And, you know, I don't know if there'll be pyro tonight. It's unlikely. You know, but we'll see. But that's what I'm holding to my heart with War Games. That 90-pound War Games, Domino's Cheese Pizza, my friend Ryan, we ordered it on pay-per-view. I still had the old knob and rabbit ears TV in my room. And we had it with the big black box to order the pay-per-view. But, goddamn.
Choppy had a memory.
Choppy,
talk about yours.
What's your memory, Choppy?
Well, I didn't get to watch my very first pay-per-view until I got my Scrambler, which was like in 1996.
You bootlegger.
Listen, I'm sure the four of us owe Turner Broadcasting or owe the WWE thousands of dollars. So,
in lost pay-per-view
revenue. So don't feel bad.
Okay. So my first War Games was 1996, and it was amazing to find out that, you know, when you found out that Sting wasn't really the guy that was attacking all of his teammates, and then he told him to stick it. And he was like, is that proof enough for you? And he gave him the stick it sign. And he was like, fuck you guys, I'm out of here.
That right there is. That, I'm going to see if I can play that.
First, I've witnessed this cage lowering to the double ring, but never with.
There we go. That right there is probably one of the best ones.
Yes.
And I'm not taking anything away from the ones in the 80s. I'm not. The ones in the 80s are great, they're classics. One of the first War Games happened right here in Miami at the Orange Bowl, which I still haven't figured out how they pulled that off.
That was 88.
No, that was 87. It was July 7. Well, whatever, doesn't matter. I still don't know how they pulled it off where they had the damn thing hanging above the ring at the Orange Bowl. Whatever, though. But Choppy's right. That 96 one, for him, for that to be his first one.
The Orange Bowl's in Orlando, right?
At Miami.
Oh, that's in Miami.
It was in
Miami, I should say. It's no longer there. But,
to me, the most iconic moment is when you see Phil Reyes' favorite wrestler, Luger, crawling on his hands and knees, calling for Stinger!
Oh, wait a minute. So I think I got that. Give me a second here, about 2 seconds.
trouble in his neck.
Yeah, Luger is seriously, seriously.
Look at him. Look at him trying to get to his feet.
He can't get up. His legs are damaged.
What a remarkable athlete, though. I mean, he passes out for pain. He's crawling, he's screaming for Sting. Had we trusted Sting? Had they believed Sting in the dressing room? I believe it would have been a much different outcome.
Funny, they're going after him. They're going after him. They're going to finish him off.
All right. Look at that.
What made him look like a punk was him calling him Stinger. He could have just said Sting, but that damn girl at him and just Stinger! Oh my God. Stinger! Somebody get Lex, man. He out there crying like a little bitch.
Maybe he needed an attitude adjustment.
Hold on. You know what? Because Choppy. I gotta play it now. Let's take you back, Fall Brawl '96, War Games, and that moment where Sting told him to stick it.
Here we go, guys!
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What the?
That it's Sting. That is Sting. That is Sting. Oh yes, get on him, baby.
He was telling the truth.
We've got two Stings.
Oh yes.
Yes!
He was telling the truth!
Okay, now clean house! Go to work! Get the Nature Boy! Get the Enforcer! Get moving! Start kicking some butt! Come on, Sting! Come on, Luger! Take Hogan out! Concentrate on Hogan!
Don't worry about him! Just a pinch.
The elevation of those Stinger splashes!
Here we go.
He is doing his thing!
Luger!
Here we go.
Is that good enough for you right there?
Wow!
Is that proof enough?
Not now, not now!
He just told him to stick it. He said, is that good enough for you? And he's leaving.
He showed him, you thought I was a traitor. You thought I was a Benedict Arnold. I said I wasn't. You turned your back on me. Now I want to show you that I can take the NWO on by myself, and I don't need you guys anymore. That's the impression I get.
And you know what's
sad? He slapped his arm hard as hell with that up yours.
You know what's sad about this whole thing, about that entire match, which was excellent? You know what ultimately took Luger out? That damn big boot and Hogan biting his nose.
Hey, Hollywood was a hell of a biter back then. Jeez. And an eye scraper.
But, man, oh man. And then... 97.
One of my favorite ones.
Go ahead, Tony C.
Well, you know the greatness known as Curt Hennig coming out of the Four Horsemen shirt on, but throwing handcuffs. I mean, like they damn newspapers early in the morning. I mean, you can't get too much better than that. And then the coup de grace. Slamming that damn cage on Flair head. I mean, it just spoke volumes by how nasty the NWO really was.
But the story building up to that match is one of your favorite moments in all of wrestling.
Oh my God. Belling up to the bar and, you know, people of average carpentry skills getting called out. I mean that was ratings gold. That whole push, Conan and Mongo, six is Ric Flair. Oh my God, me and Gene saying I ain't gonna be a part of this. If you want to talk to somebody, you can talk to yourself. I'm out of here. Oh my God, yo, ratings gold. That's all I can say.
That was definitely a good one.
And if somebody ever told me I was a man of average speed, average height, average quickness, average carpentry skills, I'm gonna say it's just real fucking fast. Dang, average at a damn thing.
I'm gonna cue it up here because not the whole thing, but I'm gonna take you back because in the beginning of that pay per view, the opening of that pay per view, which is very dramatic because you hear Flair pretty much going in one of his going nuts promos. He and they touch on the segment, but it was so emotional, so raw. Let me take you back, 1997 now.
the day you leave your livelihood and there's someone standing next to you with a tear in their eye, you're a lucky man, because, buddy, at the end of this road, if there's one person in the world you can say is your friend, that is for life.
I'm going to give you the only thing I got left. I'll give you my spot.
I want the big man.
Do you accept it?
My spot.
I want Conan.
Remember me how I look right now.
I want Bagwell.
It would be an honor.
And I want Sting.
Woo!
I'm taking the Four Horsemen.
Come on, Conan.
And I'm taking the NWO.
The most pathetic display of all.
And I'm putting them in.
Oh, I forgot about Buff Bagwell as Curt Hennig. I don't like you. I don't like you.
Well, you want to know something? Like, he sucked anyways.
Wait a minute, Al. As a whole, as in that spot, he's right where he needs to be. Don't do that to him. Stop it. You played that role perfect.
Well, Buff Daddy sucked.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Buff Bagwell. It would be an honor. And Arn Anderson, Curt Hennig made that phrase famous during that period of time. And you remember the Macho Man used it, started using it. And then Tradition Bites and all them damn shoot promos. Remember that, AA, with Kevin Nash?
I sure do.
Chop down asphalt. No, chop down tree, lay the asphalt.
That's right. I filled up all those damn potholes.
Yo, Double A, this echo is between all three. The only one we're not getting an echo from is you.
From me. Tony C, do you hear an echo?
Right. Say it again.
Do you hear an echo?
No.
Let me see here. Let's try this. All right, let me... go ahead, keep going. I'm gonna try to get a... get a functioning headset here while... Oh, there it is. I'm going to try to... Jerry... The problem is my... The headphone part of my headset is out. It's not working.
Oh.
That's what's going
on. Yeah, but it's just...
I think you're hearing the overhead speakers. That's what you're hearing. But let me see here. Hold on. Give me one second here. All right, go ahead. Does that sound better now?
Hello?
Yeah, does that sound better?
Let me see. Yeah, it still echoes.
It still echoes.
Am I still echoing?
Yeah, you're still echoing too.
Maybe it's the, let me see here. What about
Mama
now?
Mamma mia.
What about now?
Hello?
Yeah, do you hear it? Is it fine now?
No, not anymore.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. Hold on, I'm going to pull this out. All right, there was a setting. With this new mixer, if I don't hit the right button, it does weird shit. Anyways, okay, now everything sounds fine, right?
It should.
It sounds beautiful now.
Yeah, it sounded good now.
All right, perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. All right, so let's quiz everybody real quick here. Do you guys know the rules of War Games?
It's two teams of five with one member of these teams starting, and each member coming in, what, a minute, 2 minutes after?
Okay.
Or a minute and a half?
Close.
And the team that wins the coin toss has the advantage.
Close. Well, you know what? I think we need to go to somebody that knows the rules. And we should go to Gary Capetta. And he's going to tell us what the rules are.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, very briefly, the rules of War Games. Two teams will battle in War Games, which will consist of seven periods. The first period will...
All other periods will be 2 minutes in length. One man from each team will enter the war zone for the first period. At the end of the first period, the referee will flip a coin. The team that wins the coin toss gains the advantage by sending a second team member into the war zone for a two-on-one situation and maintains that advantage throughout four games. At the conclusion of the second period, the disadvantaged team sends their second man in, evening the matchup with 2-2. After the third period, the team which won the coin toss sends their third man in, thus regaining the advantage. The teams alternate during the remaining periods until all 10 men are in the war zone. At that point, the Match Beyond begins. The only way to win the Match Beyond is to force a member of the opposing team to submit or surrender. There will be no pinfalls. There will be no countouts. There will be no disqualifications. Official time will be kept at ringside, and the head referee's ruling will be final.
There you go. That's what the rules used to be.
So does Vince McMahon owe WCW for that Warzone name?
I guess so.
I gotta say just one thing. I mean, I gotta say the War Games match has more periods than the fucking menstruation cycle. Yes, oh my does. Goodness gracious!
Yes, it does. Well, a War Games match is meant to last close to an hour, you know, or not close to an hour, but maybe 30 minutes, you know. And I don't know how long this War Games match is going to run, but there are 9 guys, and I don't know how it's supposed to be that they're alternating. I know that 3 people are going to start the match, and then I don't know if they release one by one the remaining 6, but they're going to be in shark cages at the entranceway. Yeah, I said shark cages, but
I don't want to knock it till I see it.
Well, I don't.
Like Chris Jericho?
Yeah, like Chris Jericho. But here's the thing, I don't want to knock it. Here's how I look at it. The way War Games used to be is that the 2 teams come out, and they're basically on opposite sides of the cage. And then they go in one by one. Okay. As years progressed, they sent the guys came out from backstage. You know, as the clock ran to 0 and stuff. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine too. But I think the premise of keeping them in the shark cage is to separate the teams. I think
that's exactly what it is.
I think that's what it is, because in the old days, well, what separated the teams was they were on opposite ends of the cage. You had one on this side and one on that side, and, you know, they were talking strategy as they were waiting for their minute to get in.
Yeah. You know what, though? It's going to be weird, obviously, the way they have it formatted this year with the 9 guys now instead of
weird to see WWE have a War Games match, period.
Yeah,
this is awkward. This is something WWE's never done. And, you know, like, WWE's never done anything where they have to do these weird camera angles and things like that. Go ahead.
No, that's another reason why they probably took the roof off of it, so they can get the guys in there and forget about the spots. Mm-hmm. It was pretty hard to get the camera angles back in the day with Jackie Crockett and all those guys, the camera crew. Like, I put this on Facebook the other day. I'm a purist. I'm all about nostalgia. I do a nostalgia podcast. But, you know, if this is the closest we're going to get to a War Games match, and you're getting a double cage, so like, and you're getting decent talent. And Dusty said this too in the documentary, like the talent just kept getting progressively better as the years, even with the changes with the whole Jim Herd era, and even with the even when Dusty himself, they dusted him off, no pun intended, with the Nasty Boys, like they it got progressively better with talent. It got a little hokey at the end there with the fucking Russo nonsense, and you know, and it was still a little hokey with the whole Kevin Sullivan Tower of Doom thing. Don't get me wrong, I loved it every minute of it, but I think with this one here again, this is just Vince putting his own spin on it because he can, and at least they let Triple H go this far. Like I don't see how the fans are like, this is not War Games. This is not War Games. Of course, it'll never be War Games like that. You know what I'm saying? Of yesteryear.
I call it Double Trouble.
Double Trouble, whatever you want to call it. Rage in the Cage.
This is WWE War Games, basically.
Yeah,
and I know. WCW War Games.
Yeah, this is not the shitty plexiglass elimination chamber. You know, this is not... It's not that. This is Dusty's baby. This is the third reincarnation of Dusty's War Games.
Yeah.
When you think about it, it was the double cage with the roof. It was the Tower of Doom gimmick concept, and now it's the double cage without the roof.
Right.
So it's without Tower of Doom. It's another incarnation of Dusty's of the War Games. That's how I look at it.
Doomsday Cage Match.
That's fine.
Whatever. Still was a piece of
get offended when people say it. Don't say it right. From Uncensored 96, Doomsday Cage Match.
That was terrible.
I don't want to think about it.
What was that?
Frying pans and damn OJ Simpson gloves.
It was like Uncensored 96. It was Booker T, Jarrett, Steiner, Sting, Kevin Nash, the fucking Harris Brothers.
That's a different one. Chronic. That's a different one.
Yeah, I think that was 96. No, it was 2000.
Yeah.
It was god-awful.
Both of what you guys are saying.
Vince needs to bring back Cage Heat and take the top off and call it something else.
Hey, listen, here's ultimately, this is as close to a War Games as we're going to get, as we've said throughout the night. And if all we're sacrificing here is the roof, well, actually, no, I take that back, because we sacrificed something else. Very important key element in War Games, and I thought was when I heard that it wasn't going to be there, I was like, oh man, because I guess I can deal with the roof not being there. I have an issue that there's pinfalls in the match.
Yeah, no, you're right. It should be submission.
Submission. Right?
Submit or surrender. Yeah.
Submit or surrender. Yeah. And whatever, you know, listen, there's going to be a high spot tonight, probably. You know,
Sanity, Roderick Strong, somebody's all those guys.
Stupid. Adam Cole, I don't know, got busted open the other night, so we'll see.
Do you think somebody's going to turn on one of the teams?
Maybe.
I feel like Roddy's going to turn on AOP and he's going to join the Undisputed Era.
Yeah. You know, I just, again, I really don't want to shit on it until I see it.
No, I'm not shitting on it. It's more like giving a critique of what we know so far.
Yeah, of course. But like, just this whole week leading up to it, and then after the conference call with Triple H, like, everybody on social media, including our people.
Yeah, but Nick German for that
one. Yeah, Nick German, too, that fucking pessimistic savage. But... No, all joking aside, like, you know, and I tried to keep the glass half full because of my love for the War Games, and I've said this to Choppy a million times, because we always talked about, what if they brought it back, and I, guys, since I've been on a network, I've been screaming for it, so that and Halloween Havoc, you know, I want that, I want all the WCWs back, I want Starrcade back, you know, I feel like, on a regular basis, you know, and televised. You know, but I tried to keep a clear mind because the talent in this is so good. Like, Sanity, Fish and O'Reilly, Adam Cole, the AOP, my goons, Paul Ellering is back in it. Like, Paul Ellering is going to be fucking ringside, man. It's fantastic. That's nostalgia. That's old school, man. Like, you can't get any better than that.
Right.
You know, I'm really, really optimistic tonight, man. NXT always puts on a good takeover.
Yeah, they do.
So you know, regardless of the War Games match, you're going to get a good card. The women's match looks good.
Everything's great.
McIntyre and Amis looks good.
And there's going to be
Aleister Black is fighting what's his nuts?
Velveteen Dream. Lars Anderson versus Chris Hero. Cassizono.
You see, you're going to get a good card. And you're getting the War Games.
No, say it right.
War Games, if you will. But no, like, seriously. July. I'm trying really hard to keep an open mind. Like, I was. Yeah.
Oh, you know which match might steal the show? Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano.
That's next week.
Well,
buddy. Oh, it's not this month. Is that not tonight? No, it's next week.
Oh, no.
It's not going to air live. No.
Damn it.
That's going to be a good match, too.
Oh, that was a show stealer right there.
I just feel like if this goes off with a hitch, they can use them on a regular basis, and they can make it a part of their routine every year around this time. And, you know, because you're getting four takeovers a year, so you know if they're going to bring this back again, it'll be special. Once a year, get it done, get all these feuds out of the way, and this is going to be like a stepping stone, like, say, for instance, the AOP. They're obviously the next step up. They're going to get bumped up to the main roster eventually.
Raw or SmackDown, you think?
I don't know. I'm hoping SmackDown, but it doesn't matter at this point. I want Ellering to go with them. That's the goal. And I want them to have a good showing so they can go upstairs and then push Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era and have them hang out with Sanity and a few with them for a while because they've been hanging with them guys for a minute. Mm-hmm. I think it's solid that they can do this with nine guys and not have to worry about and put their little spin on it with the whole Shaw Cage thing. You know, again, it's until we see it, I can't really. I don't want to shit on it, you know? So.
Right. I guess we'll see what happens. It is a little sad that, you know, the Dream's not there tonight. You know, obviously, you know, he's upstairs watching, but,
I'm sure he's happy with the end result anyways.
Yeah, I think he would be pleased, you know, seeing that his kids in NXT are using his creation.
You know what I equate this to? And, you know, you're a junk food guy like me, right? You know when you go and you get something from your past, like a nostalgic, like a Twinkie or
a
McRib, and it's not the same size as it was when you first had it? Like, I know, like, a lot of Hostess and Drake's cakes, when you buy them now, even, like, Choppy's favorite, the Little Debbie snack cakes, they're a lot smaller now in the package.
And they're double the price now.
And they're double the price.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I equate this match, the War Games gimmick now, to that. It's nostalgia. You're getting the same taste. You're getting the same flavor. You're just getting a smaller, different version of it. You know, if that makes any sense. Like, you know, even, like, fucking Malamars are smaller now. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. I'm really optimistic about tonight.
It's going to be a good show. It really is.
Regardless, yeah.
It's going to be great.
So am I. And, you know, yes, and I, you know, Phil brought up I'm a junk food, you know, junkie. And Tony C heard a story about me and Yardbird the other day that I won't share on the air. But anyways.
I got to hear.
Anyways, I'm excited for tonight, despite certain things not being there, certain aspects. I wonder if they're gonna give it a big ballyhoo. Big word for those of you out there that want to look up the definition of ballyhoo. Ballyhoo is basically just making a big spectacle. I want to see this thing lowering, and I just want to. I want them to make it feel like a war is about to happen.
Well, they got the best, one of the best play-by-play guys on the planet.
That's in Mauro Ranallo. Ranallo is going to be.
And there. Nigel, too.
And Nigel McGuinness, part of the Shining Wizards Network. Cheap plug. But, yeah, they're gonna come correct tonight, you know? It's going to have that Tony Schiavone, Jim Ross feel to it, I think. You know? If all the stars align, Chop, you know what I'm saying? If all the stars align, this might be one of the best matches of the year.
How cool would it be, though, as a surprise tonight, they busted out Tony Schiavone.
Well,
as a comic.
That'd be dope.
Well, Schiavone, I don't think wants anything to do with it, but, you know. It'd be nice. Hell, if it's not Schiavone, bring back Jim Ross.
Oh, yeah, Jim Ross.
JR still does stuff for them.
He'd do it.
They may do it. You know, they may do it.
We don't have Cuddle, so we might as well get JR or Schiavone.
But, you know, it's that big fight feel, man. It's that big fight feel. It makes me feel like I watched them all today while I was, you know, cleaning the house and whatnot. And even like the shitty ones, I was like, oh, I can't wait till tonight. Like, I just, and then the Double was posting something on today. He was watching something not related to the movie, but not related to the match.
I was watching the movie War Games.
War Games, right. And I got pumped. Like, I was like, this is, and I'm waiting, and the kid wasn't here, and he was at a family function. I'm texting him, you coming home for the War Games? He's like, yeah. He got a little Aleister Black tattoo on his arm that he got from the they had a painting person at the party he was at. They were painting the kids' faces and stuff like that. Nice. The little Aleister Black gimmick on his arm. Like, I'm all ready for tonight, you know? It's got that big fight feel to it, you know?
I just hope this War Games doesn't end like the one I watched this morning in a game of tic-tac-toe.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what, though? And I was watching, and every time they, you know, in between the matches when Dusty was talking, and I wanted to bring this up before and I forgot, like, the way Dusty talked about it, and listen, Dusty is Dusty. We all know how charismatic he was, sure, and how great he was on the stick, but, like, you could tell he was wholeheartedly, like, invested in this entire process when you were filming this thing for him, because it was his baby. You know, it was his bag, and, like, to see something like that come to fruition in his realm of business and his work, like, it's to have some dude concoct this on a hood of a car, right. You know,
yeah,
like, it's crazy. Just the thought process, like, all right, we have one cage. What if we had two cages? You know, and you're like, wow. And what if we have like a coin flip and have, you know. It's a crazy concept.
Let me ask you guys something. Who came up with World War III? Was it Dusty?
No.
Was it Three Rings?
I don't know.
No, that's a Bischoff idea. That's an Eric Bischoff idea.
That was Eric Bischoff, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was his people.
Because I thought it was like a Dusty idea, because that was a great idea,
too. No, Dusty had the Bunk Cap Stampede. He had the War Games.
He had Halloween Havoc.
He had Starcade. Great American Bash.
Yeah. There's a few under
Clash Champions. Clash Champions was his also.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, what would you rank Dusty as? In terms of, like, the smartest guys in wrestling, how would you rank him? Number one, number two?
He's in top five.
At least top five, right?
Definitely top five.
I would agree.
I'd put him, you know what, if I'd have to tell, like, say, who is the absolute smartest of the smartest, I think a tie at number one would have to be Dusty and Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman, for sure.
Guess who Paul learned from?
Dusty Rhodes.
He learned from Dusty.
Yeah. You got to put Jim Cornette in there.
I think Pat Patterson's one.
Pat Patterson. You got to put Pat Patterson invented the Rumble.
I think, and I'd be remiss to say that Vince isn't a creative guy, but Vince is more business than anything. And I think a lot of what has happened in the last 10 years probably has sullied Vince's legacy.
Well, from like 84 to like 90, you know, Vince was really on hands with the booking. It was only him and Patterson and a couple of people like Pritchard and all that.
Right.
They didn't get writers and shit until like the mid to late 90s. So, you know, you got to give him a little bit of credit. He could definitely go into the top 10. If you were making a Mount Rushmore of smart guys in pro wrestling, you could definitely put Vince in. You could put Dusty, Vince.
I say Dusty, Heyman,
Vince,
and Patterson.
And Patterson, yeah.
Because I tell you right now, Bischoff was not a. I don't know if Bischoff was more of a.
No, Bischoff was a business guy.
He was not. He was not a creative genius.
He's not a creative. No. Vince Russo gets as obnoxious as Russo was.
Yeah, but Vince Russo, he was creative, but then he still needed that filter, which was either a Patterson or a Vince McMahon to filter his ideas and make it look better. If you think about it,
like trying to fit 2 pounds of shit, 5 pounds of shit in a 2 pound bag.
There you go. What do you guys think about that? That whole idea of Vince Russo being one of the smartest guys out there.
Think whoever said that probably took a hit off something before saying it.
See? Yeah, well, it is what it is, you know?
It is what it is, but whatever, you know? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. He threw, like, spaghetti on the wall to see if it stuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when you... And if it stuck, it worked. If it didn't, it was something on a pole match.
Well, pinata!
Right. If it didn't work, it was something on a pole match. You know, or make David Arquette world champion. Like, you know, other than that, some of the stuff he did was all right.
Yeah, the David Arquette thing was just a pop of reading. That was it.
Right, no, I'm just saying. I'm sorry, Double A, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that... that I've got another soundbite here, and WWE released these over the course of the last few weeks, ever since the news came out about War Games. Dusty Rhodes started the first 20 or 30 War Games matches. Who was
with
the person? Who was the person on the other side?
Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson, Double A.
So Arn reflects on the War Games, and this is what he had to say.
You're looking at the ultimate battleground.
Just not another match. This is war.
Most people can't tell you who all were in the War Games, but I bet you most could tell you who started them all, and that would be Arn Anderson. I had never seen a double wide cage, and I don't think I've ever seen one since. And to look at it in all its majesty, it was just awe-inspiring. You knew something memorable was going to happen inside that double cage, and without a doubt, it absolutely did. Nobody's going to win. At best, they're just going to survive. And that was the reality of War Games.
It's NXT.
There you go.
I love Arn Anderson. He's such a great promo.
Of course. Greatest, one of the greatest talkers in the business. But, hey, man, I hope Arn's in the house tonight. You know, it'd be nice to see
him. I hope so, too, man. That'd be great.
You know, we know he's in town. So, I hope he's
I'm really glad Triple H got it this far. I really am. Take all the criticism you want from him, and
I think he's a genius himself too.
Well, I think he's piggybacking off of what he learned from Vince and sitting backstage banging his daughter for all those years, you know. I think it's a credit to him, and he keeps that nostalgia feel, like, you know,
because he knows what the fans want.
I know, but yeah, I understand that. I wish he would do it globally with the regular brands, but well, that's besides the point. That's another show, you know.
I think that's a fight that he's still fighting. He's, like you said, he's taking nostalgia and bringing it to business, which, you know, the old school never had business. Old school just came in, did their thing, and that was it.
Yeah.
Now we're taking old school and making it more business friendly. We're bringing it to Wall Street, which is something that was never done before. And this whole thing, you know, it was ironic that, you know, when when the War Games announcement happened, what, 5 weeks ago, something like that, is when we got the announcement that Starrcade was coming to the Greensboro Coliseum next Saturday, because this week is Thanksgiving, so it's going to be next Saturday. And, you know, WWE has done everything in their power to try to make this as much of an old-school card as possible. I think, ultimately, they should have put this on TV or tape it for air later. Then maybe not have it live, but they could have definitely taped it and put it on demand or schedule it to air later or whatever. Because, I mean, we went all summer with them taping this Mae Young Classic, and the only part of the tournament that was live was the final match. So what difference would it have made to tape this damn house show in Greensboro? We know that Ric Flair is going to be there. That was announced a couple days ago, but... Triple H has a hand in that, you know. He has a hand in bringing that back. Is more things going to come back?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a little baby odd steps. that now NXT is going to go to center stage at the beginning of next year for a round of TV tapings.
Yeah. Hey, they're expanding.
You want to know something? I think the War Games could work in the main roster now because you have the Shield. You have the Miz and Cesaro, and you got the Miz in the bar.
It would work on SmackDown.
It would work on SmackDown too, because you got all those great tag teams on SmackDown.
Exactly.
I just don't understand why it's such an issue for Vince to take somebody else's idea.
Because it ain't his, partner.
He's a fucking asshole.
Not his, bro. That's the thing.
I take it one step further. You know, I would have piggybacked off the heels of NXT making this announcement of War Games. And Kurt Angle should have said, you know what? Since the War Games are going to be in Houston for TakeOver, how come we don't have our match in War Games at the Survivor Series? I've always felt that the War Games would have fit perfect at the Survivor Series.
I agree. We're going back more than 10 years ago
that I've thought this.
Yeah, perfect concept. And you know what? Baby steps. I think if this goes off the way I'm hoping it does, maybe, just maybe, they can implement it on the main roster.
Yeah, that's when Vince kicks the bucket, finally. I mean, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of time before him and Stephanie get creative control.
I'm telling you right now, Triple H, once he gets creative control of this whole company, forget it. It's going to be much better.
But I just hope, and we're going to start getting into the card and the predictions here for the TakeOver event. I just hope that WWE ultimately does not make any more gimmick matches. Like, I think I'm gimmicked out in the sense of I don't need no more new matches. I don't need
a gimmick
Jobby Inferno match, you know.
Yeah, I think they've blown their load in terms of that. I think the stables are, you know, Elimination Chamber, TLC.
Yes.
You know, I think they've established that brand of it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they could get it. I don't think you can really do anything else anymore with this whole new audience and the concept that they're pushing out to the fans on the main brands. I don't know if you can do that now. A towering inferno match, you know? I don't know if you can do that anymore. Or a boiler room match. I don't know if you can. They don't go that extreme anymore, you know? They'll take it to TLC, that's about it, you know? They'll do it in Elimination Chamber, that's about it. You know, then that's it, you know?
Okay, let me ask you guys something. Do you think there's going to be blood tonight?
There should be.
Not on purpose.
Yeah.
Maybe Hardway?
Hardway, for sure. Those guys are going to go all out. They're gonna go balls out. They you know, and I was gonna say this too on social media and I forgot. The talent knows how important this is.
Exactly.
And how important it was for them to bring the concept even back, to call whatever you want to call it, War Games, you know, because it's not the cage, it's not this, it's not that. The talent, I feel, is gonna put on a performance of their life.
Absolutely.
They're going to go out there, especially the Ring of Honor guys.
Adam Cole has a lot to prove.
The Sanity guys have been on point. The AOP have been almost unstoppable, except for like one match. They lost one match in a year. Okay, and now you have these Ring of Honor guys who put on these fantastic matches without a gimmick. Now you're giving them a gimmick, and you're putting it's a recipe for greatness.
It's going to be a show stealer for sure.
It should be. Mm-hmm. The talent, I think, will make, and Dust, again, this was Dusty's vision, man. This Dusty saw this coming. He said in the documentary, the talent got better every year. Even with the corporate switches and all the bullshit, the talent got better. You can't get no better than this. You can't. Yeah. You can't.
Well, with that, it's time to run down the card of TakeOver and give our predictions. One thing that we didn't talk about, and I'll bring it up in a second, is the use of the two rings. We're going to talk about that in 1 second. In case you're wondering, this coming Wednesday night, you will see Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano for the WWE United Kingdom Championship. That match is currently being taped as we speak. So we're not going to give spoilers or anything, but it is currently being taped, and you'll see that this coming Wednesday night on NXT. The rest of the card for tonight's event, 2-hour show, probably with a little bit of an overrun due to the War Games match. So it's definitely going to be a very entertaining night, as are most of the TakeOver events. The last one in Brooklyn fell a little flat, but that's okay. This one should definitely take the cake because of the War Games match. And now I'm going to ask this question before we get into the predictions and run down the card. And Tony C had to step away, so it's just us. But something that happened anytime that there was a War Games match was the undercard got free rein on using the two rings. Do you think that any of these matches on the card tonight, with the exception of the War Games match, will make use of the fact that there is a second ring in the building?
I think the women's match. I think the women's match can it's a fatal four-way, right? I believe.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So the four-way would do it. I don't know. See, NXT is a spot fest, so you may get guys trying to do some stuff, but like, I think the girls. I think the girls.
I don't think the second ring is going to be used by any of the other matches, because I think they want to save the second ring for the main event.
That's fair.
Well, it probably will alternate rings throughout the night, hopefully.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get to it. Five matches on the card. And we kick things off, Lars Sullivan against Cassius Ohno, a.k.a. Chris Hero, a man that really, really needs to get a pair of trunks that fit.
I agree. Very much so, because the man is so out of shape.
It's not even the out of shape aspect. Why would you wear something that's clearly two sizes too small?
I don't know. Maybe he just likes to let people know that he has, you know, a large package. Who knows?
I don't get it.
Me either.
And, oh, God. What was the guy's name in America's Most Wanted? It was James Storm and Chris...
Chris Harris.
Braden Walker. I've said this before. He walked into ECW, was there for less than a cup of coffee, and looked like a sausage in the casing, and the casing was starting to burst.
Yeah, he was really bad. He looked terrible.
Anyways. Yeah. Cassius Ohno, Lars Sullivan, will go around the room, get our predictions. We'll start with Phil. Phil, who are you taking in this match? How are you seeing the match go? Go ahead.
I think Ohno's going to put the younger guy over. I'll take Lars Sullivan, and Lars has been on a tail lately. I've been paying a little more attention to NXT. I was telling Choppy I've been trying to watch it more, because I haven't. But I like Sullivan a lot. And Choppy didn't like him at first.
Now I do.
And I said to Choppy, I'm like, this is like in the summertime. We had a conversation like in July or August. I'm like, dude, let this kid get a little more seasoning, and he's going to be all right.
I think with the right opponent, this guy is money, because
he's fighting Ohno tonight.
Exactly. So since he's fighting Ohno, I think this is going to be a really good match. I think it's going to be a hard-hitting match. It's going to be one of those stiff matches, because I remember him fighting up against Oney Lorcan, which is Biff Busick,
yeah.
They had a fantastic match.
Yep.
Him and Danny Burch had a fantastic match.
Yeah, that was the match I was telling you about.
Yes. Hands down. So, like I said, if this guy Lars with the right opponent, he's going to be money. So I think it's going to go to Lars. And keep in mind, this guy's still very young. He's only 27 or 28 years old. Very young guy.
Yeah, he's under 30.
He looks like a friggin' Neanderthal.
Yeah.
So, Lars Sullivan for me.
Yeah, we're taking Sullivan.
All right. I'm going to... I guess I'll be the rebel here, and I'm going to go with Ohno. This is Chris Hero's first takeover, right? I believe this
I
is
think so.
I think you're right, dude.
Yeah.
So, this is his first time getting pretty much... main event spotlight, so to speak, on a live WWE special, because he hasn't had it yet. I mean, in his first go-around, never appeared at TakeOver, and he certainly wasn't NXT the first go-around when TakeOver first started, and now he's been back for, a year? He hasn't been on a TakeOver yet, this being his first one, and now it's live, so I'm going to go with Chris Hero, because he needs that rub, you know, to, you know, just to go over. It's not that I want to take anything away from Lars Sullivan. But I think Chris Hero probably should go over in this one, just so that he can prove that that he still got it. And not that he ever lost it, but he needs to make a point tonight. Aleister Black versus the Velveteen Dream.
Oof, this is tough.
Why is it tough?
Because I like both gentlemen. I think Velveteen Dream is only 22 years old. He has a long career ahead of him. Aleister Black is phenomenal in the ring. And he's undefeated, mind you. Mm-hmm. So, I think, you know what? I'm going to go with Velveteen Dream on this one.
Hmm. You think that that this guy, this Aleister Black, who is just a no-nonsense type of guy, he's undefeated, as you said. He's gonna get his first defeat tonight.
I think so. I just have a feel. There's something about it. Something in the air about it. I think he's gonna lose. There's rumors going around that he was supposed to be moved up to the main roster soon as well. So he might do the job for the kid.
Right. Let's see here. Let me see if we can pipe up some audio, because let's real quickly go live. Well, we're not going live because this is on a delay. Let's take you up to Houston, Texas, where the pre-show for NXT TakeOver War Games is live, and Charlie Caruso is going to introduce us to the show.
NXT Universe, brace yourselves. For the first time in nearly 20 years, war will be waged inside of a hellacious steel structure that surrounds not just one, but two rings. And this time around, it's three teams all putting their bodies on the line in hopes of escaping the toilet.
John Rage's wife was rushed to the hospital.
One piece. Hello,
John Rage's,
welcome
John Rage's wife.
To the NXT TakeOver
John Rage?
Pre-show.
His wife was rushed to the hospital
with
seizures.
So, and joining me on tonight's panel from SiriusXM's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts show, he's the last professional broadcaster, right. Sam Roberts.
So there you go. They're underway there. Sam Roberts, who really needs to do something with that hair. Anyways, let's get back to this card here. Oh, and Booker T. I didn't see Booker. Booker's on the panel. I guess Booker's going to be doing double duty this weekend. All right, next match on the docket. Or wait, did you guys? So you said the Velveteen Dream is going to defeat Aleister Black. Phil,
yes.
What do you think is going to?
I'm taking Lauders. No, I'm sorry, Aleister Black. I'm taking Aleister Black over Velveteen Dream.
I'm going to go with Aleister Black as well, because I just can't see a badass losing to somebody named the Velveteen Dream. That's just me, but whatever. For the vacant NXT Women's Championship, we'll see Ember Moon, Kairi Sane, Nikki Cross, and Peyton Royce vie in a fatal four-way match. The winner will be crowned the NXT Women's Champion. Of course, Kairi Sane, she was the winner of the Mae Young Classic. Ember Moon, the former Athena Reese, former guest on the Wrestling Call-In Show, and of course, the apple of William Morgan's eye. Despite WWE. Gentlemen, I know, Phil, you love the women, so go ahead and tell us who you're going for in this match.
As much as I adore Nikki Cross, I think she's awesome. And she's cute, too. She's nice on the eyes. I'm finally, hopefully, Ember Moon wins tonight. She couldn't win with Oscar on and finally, I think she's going to get her due. Will Morgan's future baby mama. I think it can go either way. Any of these girls now can win it. They've been getting, especially Peyton. Was it Peyton Royce? Right.
Mm-hmm.
She's been getting a major push too. But I think Ember Moon is going to win tonight. I don't know. We've got
choppy.
Man, this is another tough one because they put so much. Okay. Kairi Sane won the tournament, and then you got the other three competitors that won through a series of matches. I can't see Kairi Sane losing when she won that tournament. You know, they built her up so much as, like, you know, this future super women superstar. So I don't see Ember. It's going to be Kairi Sane for me.
Kairi Sane, okay. I think it's probably going to be Ember Moon. She's been busting her ass for the last year, and trying to get that title. And then, of course, Asuka left NXT to go to Monday Night Raw. Therefore, the title was held up in abeyance. And I think maybe now is her opportunity. But we'll see what happens. You're going with Kairi Sane. Phil's going with Ember Moon. I'm going with Ember Moon as well. But I guess we'll have to see what just happens live tonight in Houston. The NXT Championship is on the line. The champion, Drew McIntyre, will defend his title against Andrade Cien Almas. And Zelina Vega will be in his corner. Let's start with, we'll start with Choppy on this one. Choppy, Cien Almas, Drew McIntyre, NXT title on the line. I think I know what you're going to say, but tell the world what you think is going to happen.
McIntyre is going to retain, for sure.
See? There you go. You knew he was going to say that. What about you, Phil?
Yeah, I don't see Almas winning the title. Now, they put too much into Drew right now as a character, and they just set him up for a boy, Adam Cole.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, right.
I feel the same way.
We're on the same wavelength, then. That's why you're my partner. You know what? I did it upon a good match. Almas, and I told this to Choppy too in the summertime, he's another guy that's putting on these great matches.
His match was with Gargano? Oh my God.
You see, NXT needs to start rotating these kids, man. But you know what? It's going to be a great match. I see Drew McIntyre retaining and at least holding that belt until Mania weekend, I think.
Really?
Yeah,
because that's the next takeover.
That's the next takeover.
Yeah, so yeah, Adam Cole's probably going to get the belt there.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, the next takeover would be the one at the Royal Rumble. That's going to happen.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be in Philadelphia.
The Rumble.
It is NXT in Philly, right.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's gonna be interesting. It definitely is going to be interesting. But I agree with you guys. I don't see Drew McIntyre losing the title. Not that I'm taking anything away from Cien Almas. He's a great hand in the ring, but I don't think that he should be the NXT champion, at least not at this moment.
I do like the girl that he's with. What's her name again?
Zelina Vega.
Yes, she was in TNA, correct?
I think so.
I don't know.
She's kind of cute. I'll say that. Anyways.
Yeah, she is cute.
Yeah, I think she's a great mouthpiece, by the way. For him.
Yeah.
She's fantastic.
She's perfect for him.
I agree. I think she's awesome. And like you guys said, I think he's not going to get the belt, but I think that we're thinking big things for him. Maybe moving up to the main roster.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, listen, just because you didn't win the NXT championship doesn't necessarily mean you're not qualified to be on the main roster. I mean, there's a lot of people
Correct.
That are on the main roster that were never NXT champion. So
That's true.
And they're making a big deal now. So, all right, it's the match that we've all been waiting for. It's been 19 years since the last one. September 1998 was the last official War Games match. Here we are, November 2017. It's the first time in the WWE. A man who was there the first night that this match happened, he's there tonight. Three teams of three will enter, and just like in War Games of past, the teams will alternate going into the ring at timed intervals until everybody's in the match, at which point you can win by pinfall or submission. The Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong with Paul Ellering will go up against Sanity, and they will go up against the Undisputed Era, which is comprised of Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. It is a War Games match. It is tonight. Dusty, what is it called one more time?
The War Games.
Okay. Phil, I'll let you begin. Where do you think, or what do you think is going to happen?
As much as I want the AOP to win, you know, they're not, obviously. I think the Undisputed Era is going to win. I don't know if I'm going with Choppy Theory with the swerve with Roddy. I think they're just going to win outright. But look for Sanity to steal the show. They've been on point lately. As much as I love the AOP, but Sanity has been on point lately. They're going to steal this. I'm telling you, man, the talent is there. It's magic waiting to happen if it goes down right. If they don't fuck this up, if WWE lets them do their thing, it's going to be a great match. And I think nothing but good expectations. I have high expectations for Cole, Fish, and O'Reilly because of our love for Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think I think they almost have to win since they're the new guys on the block. And they've been jumping people and taking names and kicking ass and running their mouth all the time and doing the heel thing. I think they have to win this match. If they don't win it, it'll be a little disappointing. Even though the match will still be good, if they don't win, it'll be a little disappointing to me. Because I expect a great match, and I expect them to win. So I'm taking Undisputed Era.
Choppy.
I agree with my broadcast partner over here. I believe that... they are the new kids on the block. They have to prove themselves to the audience and to his peer and to their peers, and pretty much show them that show the world that what they're made of. And I the only thing I see happening is I think there's going to be a swerve. I feel like Roddy is going to betray the AOP in this match. There's something about it that just doesn't seem right with me. So we'll go from a 3-man crew to a 4-man crew.
Okay. Well, having watched the Authors of Pain since they pretty much they came on the scene, of course they were dominant. They were the NXT champion or tag team champions. They had a series of matches involving DIY over the course of the last year that ultimately ended back at NXT Takeover during WrestleMania weekend. You know, I don't see Sanity going over. That, for me, is just obvious. For whatever reason, they're not going over. As for the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong, I find it difficult for them to go over. But I don't know if I necessarily buy into the fact that maybe Roddy's going to turn. I hope Paul Ellering gets involved somehow. But then again, anytime I've ever talked about Paul Ellery in NXT, I've been wanting him to come out with a newspaper. I've been a lot of things, and they just haven't happened yet. So I'm going with the Undisputed Era. I think they've got a lot of steam right now. A lot of everything is backing them right now. Just everything from, probably people backstage in WWE to... We've got the IWC is behind them. Of course, on the heels of everything that's going on with the Bullet Club, I know Adam Cole was with them for about a cup of coffee, but they want them to leave NXT and go back with them, but that's neither here nor there. I think just with everything that's going on, these three have made such buzz in the last 12 months that it doesn't make sense if they didn't win. And I think they need all the momentum in the world to go forward. Thus, ultimately, Adam Cole will face Drew McIntyre. He'll become an NXT champion. And it'll just be this train that'll just... It's going to be very difficult to stop it, I think. They shouldn't interrupt it. And that's why I think they're going to win. But that's my two cents, I should say, on that. I think that's it.
I think that's it.
I think we covered everything. So, real briefly, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, we're going to cover the Survivor Series. We'll be back here at 6 o'clock. Like I said, we're going to run down the card, give our predictions, and do all that fun stuff that we normally do going into a pay-per-view that, oh my God, between the pre-show and the actual event, it's going to be 6 hours and change. Oh, why? Anyway, so we've got that. It'll be myself, Tony C. It'll be the crew. I'm sure we'll hear from Phil and the boys as they're going to have their big four shindig. There's always the big four, and there's always a shindig.
Yeah.
I talked about those shindigs on Tuesday night. And Surfer, I know you're listening. Shame on you for getting drunk in Brooklyn and... You know, I'm not going to reveal what Surfer told me off the air, but it was not a valid excuse, in my opinion.
I'm not going to hold it against him. It is what it is. You know, better him than me, because I know the neighborhood he went into. I don't parlay that area. It's all hipsters and gentrification nonsense.
Okay, but would you go and then, you know, schlep your ass to the train station for 2 hours?
No, at that point, no. I probably, if I was drinking, or I would have a plan. I'd have enough money to stay the night. You know, I wouldn't. You know,
no, if you wanted,
I've done what he's done though, but I just for a concert. I mean, you know, wasn't like a late thing. Like I was done by like 11 o'clock, and I was home by like 1 or 2 in the morning. You know,
all because he wanted to go to a podcast party.
Jeez. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. So if Choppy and I make it down to Philly for the Rumble weekend,
yeah, you gotta kidnap his ass.
We'll kidnap him and we'll abuse him. Yeah. we'll abuse him.
Power, too sweet to be sour.
That's right.
Ned will enjoy that. Anyways. So, that's tomorrow, though. But tonight, whenever this event goes off the air, you know, 10:15, 10:20, I figure that's going to be the cutoff time when they'll finally take them off the air. Phil, Choppy, they'll be back on the air. And you know what they're going to do? Well, goddamn, they're going to tell you exactly what happened. They're going to recap what happened in this pay-per-view. They're going to be ranting and raving. They're going to be throwing a hissy fit. Because if this turned out to be a terrible event, they're going to let you know. And that's going to be at the conclusion of the tonight's takeover. So you can definitely listen to Phil and Choppy tonight, immediately following the event. They'll be live. That's going to serve as their episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks this week because they were not on the air yesterday.
Yeah, we're going to use this stuff.
And, you know, because they had to go and, you know, Choppy was being dad. And Phil, I saw Phil went to go see A Bronx Tale yesterday. So.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was your pinky up in the air with your little pamphlet?
Yeah, wife didn't like it too much.
It was. But. I saw the pictures.
Yeah. Yep. It was, you know, Broadway shows, it's her bag, so it's her birthday, so I gotta, you know, do the husband thing.
I heard it was good, though.
I thought it was okay. It wasn't fantastic.
It's not the movie, obviously.
No, it's some of the, I'll get into it on the show next week. But, she didn't like it too much, but she's also very opinionated because she does this stuff for fun.
This girl, I don't know if you're watching the pre-show, you know that little girl that's obsessed with Bailey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, she's there, just flailing her arms and dancing up a storm because she's the front of the crowd here and this and that, and this Asian looking guy holding a baby steps in front of her to take a selfie, and she gave him such a dirty look like, you just stepped in front of my shot. Bastard.
Damn them.
You Chinaman, get back to where you came from. You know that
Chinaman.
Exactly. She gave him that type of look, you know.
Where's Tony C when you need him right now?
Tony C's taking some medicines, so
he's got to numb himself up for the show.
Oh man! Well, with that said, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We'll make this available for download, and we'll rebroadcast it in the feed. And then, of course, like I said, come back later on tonight. Phil and Choppy will be here. They're going to recap what happened. We'll be back tomorrow for the Survivor Series, and then, of course. We'll have, I don't know, it's Thanksgiving week, so I don't know if we'll have all the shows this week. I guess Thursday and Friday are up in the air. I don't know, you guys are probably not doing a show Friday.
We're actually, Choppy and I are going to be together for Thanksgiving this year. We're going to, so we might get us from like a remote location in a hotel room on Friday night.
We might.
Depending on how inebriated we are.
All right, so.
But we're bringing the laptop and one of the microphones, so.
All right, well, we'll keep you posted, I guess. And there's a... Look at that. There's Morrow, Percy Watson, and Nigel McGuinness, and Morrow. Dude, I like you, but you got a horrible hairdresser. Anyway, oh Lord, I don't know. Ever since that whole JBL thing, his hair has been looking terrible, and that's like a no homo type comment. I'm just being blunt, honest here. Your hair is terrible. Anyways, and I'm not one to talk because I lost my hair when I was 22 years old. So, all right. With that said, Thank you to everybody in the chat room. Enjoy the War Games. Dusty?
The War Games.
Enjoy that. And remember the dream, because this is his baby. And enjoy the rest of your evening. For Choppy, for Phil, for Tony C, I'm Double A. Have a good night, everybody.